Tonight is Wednesday night, June 19th. This is the Women's Mishnah Gemara Shir. We're in topics in Masach HaSukkah and focusing tonight on the Bracha of Shehecheyanu.
Hey, Rabotai.
Last week, we focused on the uniqueness of last week, the 6 days after Shavuos, which are not Yom Tov, which enable us to fulfill two obligations of Yom Tov. One was the opportunity to bring a korban, even though it was not Yom Tov, to fulfill your obligation of showing up in the Mikdash during the Yom Tov of Shavuos. And the second one was the recitation of the Bracha of Shehecheyanu, that if you omitted it on Shavuos for some reason, either during lighting candles or the recitation of Kiddush, you could make it for 6 days beyond the Yom Tov of Shavuos, and that's what we discussed last week. So what I'd like to do tonight is focus exclusively on the Bracha of Shehecheyanu and show you the four different categories during which a Shehecheyanu is recited and some of the debate concerning some of these particular categories. So we will start with a Gemara in Maseches Eruvin, where the Gemara makes the following statement. Omar Rabba, Ki Havina Bei Rav Huna, when I was visiting Rav Huna, Ibayalon, we raised the following question. Mahu Lomar Zman b'Rosh Hashanah u'b'Yom HaKippurim. Should I say a Shehecheyanu on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur? So you, of course, will say, yes, of course you say it, because that's the conclusion of the Gemara. But there is actually a machloikis whether or not you should recite a Shehecheyanu on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. But that was his question. Here are the two sides of the question. One, Kevon de Mizman Lizman Asi Amrina. Is it A, since Rosh Hashanah comes not every day, but from time to time, and one of the criteria of the recitation of Shehecheyanu is that when a mitzvah or a regel comes from time to time, from season to season, what you do is you thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for having reached that particular time. In which case, of course you should recite a Shehecheyanu on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. O Dilma, or perhaps, no. Kevon Dulo Ikri Rigalim Lo Amrinan. Perhaps since Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur are not defined as a regel in the Torah, they are called a Yom Tov, but they are not called a regel. They're only Shalosh Regalim, three Yomim Tovim, Pesach, Sukkot, and Shavuot. And I could have imagined what might be the criteria that it's not, even though it is Ba Mizman Lizman, however, pronounced Simcha is absent on Rosh Hashanah. Pronounced Simcha is absent on Rosh Hashanah. Why is Simcha omitted or not pronounced on Rosh Hashanah? Because they're Yemei Hadin and require more serious reflection and not the outward celebrations that take place on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. So, right? As opposed to the Regalim. So, for example, there is a machloikis whether or not Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur are mevatel avelus or not. Everybody agrees that Pesach, Sukkot, and Shavuot, when Shiva or Shloshim encounter those three festivals, that's the end of them. However, there is a debate whether or not the same thing is true in relationship to Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. So if somebody dies 2 days before Rosh Hashanah, there are some who say that the Shiva is canceled. 10 days later is Yom Kippur, that's the end of the Shloshim. However, many authorities believe that, and it's a machloikus to Mechaber and the Rama and the Shulchan Aruch, many believe that that Rosh Hashanah is to be treated like Shabbos. You don't sit Shiva on Rosh Hashanah or on Yom Kippur, but it's not does not terminate the Avelos. And the reason why on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur it may not terminate the Avelos, because the factor on Yom Tov that does terminate the Avelos is the element of Simcha on the Chag. And Avelos and Simcha are incommensurate one with another. Since there is no outward expression of Simcha on Rosh Hashanah, we do not mention the phrase Chagim Uzmanim Lisason. We don't say V'yismichu Becha Yisrael Mekadshei Shemecha on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. But so therefore, outward expressions of Simcha are not as pronounced. So therefore, it may not be Mevatel Avelos. So too, the Gemara entertains the possibility that it may not require the recitation of a Shehecheyanu either for that very reason.
Shehecheyanu and Simcha are always tied together?
That's one of the theories of the Gemara. Yes. And there are many proofs to the fact that there is, that it is connected. I think I once mentioned famous Balamor's explanation why there is no Shehecheyanu on the counting of the Omer. It is a mitzvah that comes from season to season. So there are many answers to that question. But the Baal HaMaor says, because the entire 7-week period of the Omer is associated with Avelut of the Churban HaMikdash. Not the death of the students of Rabbi Akiva. Churban HaMikdash. And as a result, you don't make a Shehecheyanu on a mitzvah that doesn't have Simcha. We make a bracha, for example, when we read a Megillah from a cloth. We read all the Megillot from a cloth. You never hear for Yantar, but we read a cloth. So we make two brachot. Al Mikra Megillah for Koheles, Shirashirim, Rut, and Esther, and we say a Shehecheyanu. We read Megillas Eicha from a cloth as well. But we only say Al Mikra Megillah. We don't say Shehecheyanu. Thank you, Rabbeinu Shloim, for letting me live to another Tisha B'Av, to observe another day of Tisha B'Av. We don't do that. So that's the theory, that Shehecheyanu is always related to it. So now, what happens? Lo heva biyadei. Rav Huna did not know the answer to the question, whether you should or should not recite a Shehecheyanu on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. Lo heva biyadei. Ki osi bei Rav Yehuda, when they went to visit Rav Yehuda, ki osi bei Rav Yehuda, when they came to Rav Yehuda, he said, Omar, ana akura chadata nami aminazmin. When I see a new gourd, a vegetable, gourd, as it appears for the first time, I also make a Shehecheyanu. Because I believe the criteria is Zman Lizman. And even for the renewed vegetables or nude fruit, the first time you see a new fruit in that particular cycle calls for a Shehecheyanu. First time you see he calls it a gourd. Now, nobody even in this room would think there's lots of joy in Mudville for eating a gourd. Doesn't exist. So he, Rabbi Yehuda, does not believe that Simcha has anything to do with the Brach of Shehecheyanu. What is the only criteria? Seasonal changes. Zman Lizman. And since this gourd was not in appearance throughout the winter, and now it finally grows, I have no idea what season gourds grow in Eretz Yisrael, or in Bavel for that matter, nonetheless, he recited a Shehecheyanu. So if he recited a Shehecheyanu, certainly he would recite a Shehecheyanu for the arrival of Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. Fine. So that's what he responded. So Rabba said, Amale, Rishus lo kamibayale, ki kamibayale chova mai. There is no doubt that you have an option, rishus, to make a shechianu when you what? When you see a new vegetable. Not only when you eat it. When you see a new vegetable, new fruit, you have an option. There is no chiyuv, however, to recite a shechianu upon such a witnessing. Therefore, my question about Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur is not whether or not you have the option to recite a Shehecheyanu. I grant you that you do. My question was, is there an obligation to recite a Shehecheyanu on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, just as there is an obligation during the other Chagim? So, and that can't be answered by Rabbi Yehuda's practice of reciting a Shehecheyanu on a gourd. That's why he still asks his question. Still asks his question. The Gemara will go on to address it a little further, but it's not my concern at this point. I just wanted to read this Gemara to introduce two possibilities of categories. Category number one, Zman Lizman. Category number two, elements of Simcha. The Gemara seems to say that Zman Lizman is not a Chiyuv, but only a Rishus. We'll see whether or not that application applies to other situations as well, where the criteria is Zman Lizman. We shall see. We shall see. So that's point number one. And therefore, based on this Gemara, if you turn to page number 2, which is a tshuva of the Rashba,
didn't you say also there's an element of simcha when you see the wood?
No. 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 I said even everybody in this room. Maybe a strawberry, but no one is.
No,
no, yeah. So, yeah.
It's interesting because we use the fruit and the Shehecheyanu on Rosh Hashanah to make that Shehecheyanu.
Good, good. So that's going to be my point in a second based on the Rashba. The Rashba will say, okay, so let's read the whole question of the Rashba. She'ela, Sha'alta, you asked the question. In Mivarchin Shehecheyanu al Hamila, do you recite a Shehecheyanu when you perform the mitzvah Brit Milah? V'chein, Mishinolad Lobain, man or woman who gave birth to a child, in Mivarchin Shehecheyanu or not? Do you make a Shehecheyanu? That was the question. Tshuva. Here is my response. Mistabra, logic would dictate, the kol shenolad lo ben tzorich levarech shechianu. Anybody who had a child should recite a shechianu. Bein nodu lo banim acherim, bein lo nodu lo acherim. Whether he has five children or this is his first child, you should recite a shechianu. Now, why does he indicate, why does he enter that factor, whether you had a child or not? And the reason is, based on the fact, the Ha'kaimalon Kalishna Basra, the Rabbi Yochanan, the Amma Perika Roe, Bain Kana Batim Acherim, Bain Lo Kana Mivarech Shechayano. Just stop here for a second and go to page numbers 3 and 4 for a second. So I bracketed the relevant line, This Mishnah in Masechet Brachot is a Mishnah that lists all different types of Brachot. It is the last perek of Masechet Brachot. The Brachot is divided into three categories: Kriyat Shema, then Tfilah, and then Birchat HaMazon, and the rest of types of Brachot. That's the whole Masechta. So the Mishnah describes a lot of them. And here is the relevant case in our Mishnah. Bana bayit chadash, vikana kelim chadashim. Somebody built a new house, or purchased a new car, or any new utensils. Omer baruch shechiyanu v'kimanu v'kimanu. You make a shechiyanu. However, go to page number 4 for just a moment, towards the bottom of the page. There is a machloikis between Rav Hun and Rabbi Yochanan. Bana bayis chadash v'kelim chadashim. Amar Rav Huna. Lo shanu. The only time that I believe that the shechiyanu is appropriate is ella she'ein lo kayotze bohen. You didn't have a house. You were living in an apartment. And you finally have an opportunity to live in a house. Under those circumstances, you make a shechiyanu. Avol yeshlo kayotze bohen. But if you had a car, and now the lease is up, and now you're going to buy another car, or lease another car, no reason to make a shechiyanu, says Rav Huna. For Rabbi Yochanan Omar, afilu yeshlo kayotze bohen tzorich levarich. Even not only if you sold your house, and you don't have, even if you have a house and you bought a second house, you have a car and you bought a second car, under those circumstances, says Rabbi Yochanan, you have to make a shechiyanu nonetheless. So now, if you go back to page 2 for just a second.
One boy, then the second boy should not have.
Correct. Good. So that's good. So he says, since we reject Rav Huna and Paskin like Rabbi Yochanan, no matter if you have 10 boys, on boy number 11, you make another shechiyanu. It's not that you didn't have any boy or any girl, do you make a shechiyanu, or no child at all. Under all circumstances, any acquisition merits a shechiyanu. So if an acquisition merits a shechiyanu, a child is not any less an acquisition than a car is, or a suit, anything along those lines. Now, which principle of shechiyanu is the Gemara referring to under these circumstances? Which category in the acquisition? Is that zman l'zman? No, it's the simcha element. Precisely, it's the simcha element. And therefore, all Rishonim say that when it says, when you buy kelim chadashim, it doesn't mean you buy a t-shirt. That's also a kli, that's also a new garment. But that doesn't generate any simcha. It has to be something of significance. That's why something like a car is a major purchase. If you buy a blender, you don't make a shechiyanu on a blender. Same thing is true with clothing. It has to be something of a Shabbos dress, a coat, things like that. But the stuff that you know that you just wear to slop around on Cedar Lane or in Grand and Essex, you don't have to make a shechiyanu on those things. And that's a very important criteria, not always understood. There are two situations where we avoid purchase of new items.
During the 3 weeks.
During the 3 weeks, and during Avelus, for an entire year for mother and father. But the prohibition is not the purchase of the new item. The prohibition is not to recite a shechiyanu. So when you purchase an item that warrants and merits a shechiyanu, those types of items should not be purchased during the 3 weeks, nor during Avelus for an entire year for mother and father. But things that are acquisitions, that do not have an element of simcha in their acquisition, and hence do not require a Shechianu, are not under the prohibition of purchasing during the Avelos. Because it's not the purchase that we try to minimize, it is the element of simcha that we minimize for an Avel. And that a simcha is only defined by something that requires a Shechianu. So an Avel, or during the 3 weeks, you should not buy a new car. You shouldn't buy a new house during the 3 weeks. But to buy a blender, you can do that during the 3 weeks. To buy a blouse that you're going to wear Sunday through Thursday, that's okay during Avelus and during the 3 weeks.
And I heard that being the basis for whether you say the Shechianu for clothing when you buy it or when you first wear it.
That's a different machloikus.
No, because then you could... It would be okay to buy it during the 3 weeks because then you wouldn't be saying the Shechianu.
Okay, that's simple. Correct. That's what some say. But it always has to be something for which the purchase generates simcha. Correct. That's a different machloikus. When you buy something, when is the real simcha? A, purchase.
Acquiring
to
or
use. Or use.
If not, then you could buy it during the Bayless during the whole year, anything, just not use it or wear it.
Correct. If that's the case, that is correct.
Is that how we hope?
No, we don't. No, yes.
But if buying Shabbos clothes, I mean, I don't think it's personally something that's simple, like you're saying. It's clothes you have to wear to shul. It's not like getting a dress for a wedding. I'm just, in my opinion, I just wondering.
I don't believe you. I don't believe you.
And
you buy Shabbos clothes if it comes to
I
understand. Okay.
I'm just asking. It's not. I'm asking the question because I don't think to say Shachianu on that amount. I don't know. I don't want to say that amount of clothes. That sounds really bad. But it just seems like it's regular. And you're doing something wrong by not saying Shachianu.
It's as we just said. It's rishus. It's not a chova. This category we just saw it in the Gemara, that for seeing the new fruit or things like that, that is an option, not.
I don't
know. I can't buy.
You wear suits to school.
Never do. Okay, so they don't have a higher quality suit for during the week for Shabbos or Yontif. Okay. Okay, so then maybe not. So maybe either they should always recite it.
What is special, like you're saying, for a wedding? Is for a wedding.
Okay. Okay. I'm not saying no. Not saying no. Yeah.
I feel like I've heard fact, that, like, if you already own 20 Shabbos dresses and you buy a 21st,
that's not special.
Yeah, I hear. Okay. Men don't have to worry about that. The 21st suit. We don't have to worry about it. Not 21 pairs of shoes. That's it. Exactly. In fact, somebody once asked the Rav, how come he wears sport jackets during the week? He used to wear blue blazing gray pants all the time. So he said, when I used to wear a long kapata, he used to wear that, not a bekisha, a kapata, on Shabbos, which he did early in his life, he wore suits during the week. And his Shabbos was the kapata. When he stopped wearing the kapata and wore suits on Shabbos, he wanted to wear something special on Shabbos, so he wore a sport jacket during the week, so that he would, Shabbos, he puts on a suit. Yeah. What? Only for you. For women.
That's how many
she owns. That's it. Women go crazy about shoes. I know. Shoes. Not us. Do you make a Shechianu on shoes? You'd be making Shechianu every day. I know. Okay. Yeah. So now, he says, in line number three, he says, Hakayim l'shema de Rabbi Yochanan, d'amar perek haroa, Bein kana batim acherim, bein lo kana mevarach shechianu. So therefore, going back to page number 2, line 3 at the dot, where it says shechianu, the Rashba said, by logic, you should recite a shechianu, whether it's your first child or your 10th child. Ela shelo ra'isi shenahul gukein, afilu hagdoyle masher ba'aretz. I have not seen the practice, and the Rashba is living in Spain, I've never seen the practice that people should recite a Shachayanu upon the birth of a child. Vishema asuha rishus. Maybe it's not an obligation. Kikara chadita demivarchinan zman velo bechova. Because this category of the gourd, that is only rishus. Now, which category is the gourd? The gourd, everybody except for Nechama said, is not a simcha element. That's only zman lizman. So the zman lizman might be only rishus. But there is a possibility that new acquisitions might be chova. Might be chova. And as a result, he is now suggesting, is the Rashba, that maybe even acquisitions is only what? Only a rishus. Because what is he comparing? He's comparing a child to a gourd.
That's what he says.
That's what he says. So if you don't make a Shechianu on a gourd, because you don't have to, maybe that's why they decided not to make a Shechianu when the baby was born. It's a little stretched. I grant you that. The chol she'eino ba mizman lizman kimoadot ein mivarchin shechianu bechova. Anything that doesn't come exactly from time to time, like the moadim, ein mivarchin shechianu bechova. Which means the gourd does come from time to time, but not exactly on the same day of the year. It's an approximate time. So since it's only a seasonal, approximate time of the new gourd, that's Rishus. However, Rosh Hashanah, Yom Tov, Pesach and Sukkot is also Zman L'Zman. It's also a bracha for time, from time to time. But that's a chova. That's what he says. He does not introduce the other category. That, you know why you do it on Rosh Hashanah, on Shalosh Regalim? Because of the Simcha element. He doesn't say that. He says that even the Shalosh Regalim is a Shechianu related to time renewal. And however, it's a fixed time. It's the 15th day of the month of Pesach, of Nisan, 15th day of the month of Sukkot, and so on and so forth, of Tishrei. Then, that's an obligation. But, maybe a child is like a gourd, and so on and so forth. I don't understand the comparison. Because a child is not in the category of a gourd, of zman lizman. You don't have a baby every 9 months, exactly to the day. So it's a little difficult based on what he says, but I just wanted to show that to you nonetheless. Nonetheless. Yes.
In the actual text of the bracha, you have the word zman. You don't have any word simcha in there. So you would think if they wanted to, you know, make it a simcha, it would be in the bracha.
Good.
That's
a good point. That's a good point. The text is lazman hazeh. That's a good point. That's a good point. I'm not saying no. Good point. Yeah. Now, if you were to take a look for a second. There is a Shechianu. There is a Shechianu, as you well know, on Yom Tov. And when do we recite the Shechianu? When Yom Tov comes out Saturday night, as Shavuos, the first night of Shavuos did. When do we recite?
Last.
Good. That's a machloikis. Our practice is that the Shechianu is recited at the end. First, you say, it's called Yak Nehaz. You all remember that? That is correct. You've heard your kids learn the 10th. You learned it. Excellent. But do you know what are the 7 other opinions? Do you remember those? There are 7 other opinions how to arrange the Kiddush and Havdalah that night. So I'm only going to tell you Abaye's opinion. Abaye says it's Yak Zinneha. Yak Zinneha. Yayin, Kiddush, Zman, Ner, Havdalah. Yayin, Kiddush, Zman, Ner, and Havdalah.
Which we had this last week because of Shavuos.
Right, but we did Yak Nahas. Because we paskin like Rava. Now, I'm going to ask you to think logically based on what we have said tonight. Not what we said yesterday or 2 weeks ago, tonight. Which do you think is conceptually more compelling? When you recite Kiddush and Havdalah on a Saturday night, which welcomes the Yom Tov, does it make more sense to follow Abaye, who says the Shekhiyanu is recited in the middle, right after the Kiddush, preceding the Havdalah, Ner, Havdalah, Nun Hei, Ner and Havdalah? Or is it more logical to say the way we do it, like Rava, Yayin Kiddush, Ner Havdalah, and Zman at the end? Which do you think is more logical? And not just tell me which one, why?
Well, I yes. say it's the way we have it.
Why?
Because the Simcha is attached to the Yontif, not to Shabbos. We don't have a special mitzvah Simcha on Shabbos. So first we have to do Havdalah to end Shabbos to start the Yontif in order to...
So then, okay, that would make sense if you say Havdalah first.
Yeah, but why don't we...
But we don't. We do Yayin Kiddush, then Ner and Havdalah and Zman.
So that's why the end makes Zman to Kiddush, because they're connected to the Chag and... The
good, so, good. So you're saying Abaye is... Good, that's Rabbi's Svara. There is no Zman ever... on the recitation of Havdalah. You're not happy that Yontif is leaving, or Shabbos is leaving. You're happy that it arrives. I hope.
Yeah,
so
for 3 days.
After Erev Yontif, you're happy that it arrived. It's just the Erev Yontif that you don't like. So, under those circumstances, that's why he says, Yayin Kiddush Zman. Then Ner and Havdalah. The recitation, according to Rava, through Abaye's eyes, is an interruption. The Havdalah is an interruption between the Kiddush and the Zman. The Zman is related to the Kiddush, not to the Havdalah. Therefore, Abaye says, you use Yayin, Kiddush, Ner, Havdalah, and Zman. Yayin Kiddush, Zman, Ner, and Havdalah. Yak, Zin, Neha. So I said there are 7 different opinions how to formulate it. How to formulate it. But that's... Now, if that... But we don't follow that. Why don't we follow that? Why don't... If it's so compelling and so logical, as Susie just said, and she is right... Why don't we say it? So now I want you to turn back to page number 1 for a second.
Don't we also do that when we do Zman after the Shifa Sukkah?
That's because the Zman covers not only the Yom Tov, but the Mitzvah of Sukkah.
Got it. Okay.
That's why we deliberately do it. I'll talk about that in a second, maybe. If you look at the Gemara, the third line from the bottom, middle of the line where it says V'hilchasa. V'hilchasa. Does everybody see it? V'hilchasa. The halacha is Zman Omro Afilu Bashuk. You don't have to recite Zman in the context of wine and Kiddush. You're allowed to recite Shehechiyanu in the market. If you're taking a walk on Yontif night, any place, you can recite a Shehechiyanu. And that's the halacha. V'hilchasa afilu b'shuk. So how is this psak halacha of the Gemara going to help us defend Rava? How will this psak of the Gemara help us defend Rava and our practice? Our practice is that we recite the Zman at the end. And Abaye said no, because then there is an interruption between the Kiddush and the Zman, if you're going to say Havdalah first, the way Rava said it. So how does this Gemara resolve that dilemma?
It's implying that they're not really attached.
Good, excellent. It's not implying. Excellent. It's telling us. Zman has nothing to do with Kiddush, nothing to do with Kos. Because you can recite in the marketplace looking for a newspaper. So if there is no connection to Kos and Yayin, therefore it can be recited anytime you want. Reciting it after Havdalah is not any worse than reciting it where? In a marketplace. Not any excellent. Not any worse than reciting in a marketplace. So Rava knew this Gemara, obviously, and hence had his defense lined up for Abaye, who believes that it's not Yaknahaz, but it's Yakzeneha. Yakzeneha. And he said initially, Abaye seemed like he was 100% correct. Good. Let's move on. Page number 5. Where there is a Tosefta that introduces the Shehecheyanu for other situations. Yes.
Who decides, though, like that one child and not the other, like in a case like this? Like,
who decides that?
Yeah.
In the case of the Gemara itself tells us whenever there is a debate, who we follow. So Rava and Abaye, who argued thousands of times and also were in the same Beis Medrash talking to each other, those were real debates. The halacha is always like Rava,
except
for six times when it's Abaye.
Right.
Yal Kigam. Why? They have their reasons. And then there are other rules as well. When Rabbi Akiva argues with any single fella, the halacha is like him. But if he argues with two fellows or more, halacha is against him. Yes. Halacha ki Rabbi Akiva mechavei ro velo mechavei rav. And some of those are hard to explain. Hard to explain. Rav and Shmuel. The halacha is always like Rav when it comes to whether something is prohibited or permissible. Always like Rav. For all cases of monetary issues, we follow Shmuel. So there are rules of Piskei Halacha. Then, after the Gemara, when the Chatimat HaTalmud took place in 535, when Ravina and Rav Ashi redacted the Talmud and said, this is it for the Talmud, then there were other debates between the early Gaonim, Rav Hai Gaon, Shrira, Amram Gaon. So, you know, and then the Rishonim came, abundant Rishonim, Rambam and Rambam. So here it depends where you lived. If you were a Sfardi, you usually listened to the Rambam and the Rif. If you were an Ashkenazi, you followed the Rush and the Rabbeinu Tam. So then the Shulchan Aruch came about and he tried to put an end to all this debate among, and I'm telling you who the Halach is. But then the Ramah didn't like that and he didn't want it because he was a Sfardi. Karo, and he didn't want Ashkenazi, so he wrote his own. So it's basically today the Mechaber and the Ramah. But then there are subsequent debates also. There are rules for that too. So anyhow, if you take a look at the Tosefta, which is edited by Professor Shaul Lieberman, he says as follows in Halacha Tes, Ha'oseh kol Hamitzvot. Anybody who recites who makes a mitzvah, excuse me, he fashions a mitzvah. He fashions a mitzvah. Mivarech aleihen, you make a bracha when you fashion that mitzvah. And he gives you examples in the next halacha, in that one as well, but look, in the next one it's even more expansive. Ha'osa lulav la'atzmo omer baruch shehecheyanu v'kimanu v'giyanu zman hazeh. When you make a lulav, what does it mean making a lulav?
You put it together.
It says in the Tosefta you make a shehecheyanu. If you make in the previous halacha, when you build your sukkah, ha'osa sukkah la'atzmo, you can make a shehecheyanu. kishehu notlo, when you take the lulav then, omer baruch hasher kedishanu tzav tzivanu al netilas lulav. Vitzorich levarech alav kol shiva. You have to make a brach on lulav all 7 days. But you never make a shechiyanu on the lulav when you take it, if you made it when? When you put it together.
So what if one person, like we buy, let's say, 7 of them, whatever, we buy a lot of them, and then one person puts them all together for everyone?
So then, then you would only make it when you took it to fulfill the mitzvah.
Right, the other people will do it when they fulfill it. The person who's putting them together is not making it on each of those.
He'll make it once for having made a lulav, that's it. Uh-huh. Yeah. Same thing by sukkah. You can make the shechiyanu when you build the sukkah, but if you didn't, you make it when you eat in the sukkah for the very first time. Same thing, ha'ose tzitzis la'atzmo, omer baruch shechiyanu. When you make a pair of tzitzis, you tie the tzitzis together onto the garment, when you finish, you make a shechiyanu. Kishehu misatef, when you put it on, baruch ha'shekisham tzitzis tzivanu lisatef batzitzis. Fine. Same thing by tefillin. So now I ask you the question. What happens if by sukkah, lulav, tzitzis, tefillin, I did not make the shechiyanu when I made it? I didn't when I made it. So when would you make the shechiyanu? When the first time you do the mitzvah. So that's what we do. First night of sukkahs, we make a shechiyanu at the very end of the kiddush. We say the kiddush, conclude mekadesh yisrael v'azmanim, then say leishev basukkah, then say shechiyanu. Then say shechiyanu. By lulav, when do we make a shechiyanu? By lulav. I don't know anybody who makes a shechiyanu when they put the hadassim and the aravos together. When do we make a shechiyanu by lulav? First day, when you pick it up, you say, al netilas lulav and a shechiyanu. The same thing should be true about tzitzis. That either you would make a shechiyanu when you make the tzitzis and tie them to the garment, or, if you don't, the first time you put on the garment with the four tzitzis, you make a shechiyanu. Have you ever seen somebody make a shechiyanu on a talus or the first time he put it on? Have you ever seen it? You have. At which types of weddings? And? Yekis. After the Erusin, right after the Ksuba is read, before the Sheva Brachot, the Chassan takes a talus and he wraps it around himself and the Kala. Sephardic practice and Broya practice. And he makes the two brachot. He makes lehisatef batzitzis and shechiyanu. He makes that bracha. If he is a Sephardi, he makes a shechiyanu as well. If he's only a Broyernik, he does not make a shechiyanu. We'll see why in a second. But in theory, you should make a shechiyanu, as the Tosefta says, whenever you make any mitzvah. So if you bake matzah, I'm serious. That's making a mitzvah. When you bake matzah, you should make a shechiyanu. If you don't make a shechiyanu, you rely on the shechiyanu, which you're going to make at the Seder night, which covers all of the mitzvot of the Seder night. Fine. However, Tosfot objected to this. Tosfot objected. If you go to page 7 for just a moment, page 7. Tosfos says, with the bracket, Ha'osa sukalats mevar shechiyanu, tzorich lefarish ta'am, maishna diyesh mitzvot shetekainu levarek shechiyanu, diyesh mitzvot shalotekinu bas shalotekinu. For certain mitzvot, you make it, and for certain mitzvot, you don't make it. For example, ba'asiyas sukkah v'lulav tekinu, kida'ashkechanacha. I just showed you, you make it for sukkah. U'ba'asiyas tzitzis u'tfilin lo tekinu. But we have not established such a practice by Tzitzis and Tefillin. Even though I just showed you a Braita, the Tosefta, the last source, was a Braita. However, not all sources agree with that Tosefta. And the Gemara, which discusses Tzitzis and Tefillin, never mentioned, that's in Maseches Menachos, never mentions that you say a Shechianu when you make a Talis and you make a Tefillin. No one ever said it. So Tosis wants to know, what's the difference? What is the difference? Why Lulav and Sukkah, yes? Talis and Tefillin, no.
It's bond.
What?
It's attached to his mind.
Good. Says Tosfos. You can't just make up Shechianu obligations. It's got into a field, into a category. So what's the category in relationship to Sukkah and Lulav? It's a mitzvah haba mizman lezman. Talis and Tefillin is not ba mizman lezman. It's all the time. So even the very first time, you do not recite a Shechianu. And which category could I have said making tefillin and tzitzis should have warranted? What? The simcha. Oh, the first time that I'm putting on my talis. The first time that I'm putting on my tefillin. No, Tosis doesn't recognize that. The only category by a mitzvah is the category which we said was zman lizman. And therefore, our practice is that we do not make a Shechianu. If you buy a new talis, you don't make a Shechianu. You get a new pair of tefillin, we do not make a Shechianu. And in the Broyus Kehila, where they put on the talis for the first time at the wedding, they do not recite a Shechianu. And in fact, they don't recite a Shech. We don't recite a Shechianu for getting married, even though it's a mitzvah to get married, according to the Rambam, because it's not ba mizman lizman. It happens once or twice, but it doesn't happen on a regular seasonal practice. So the mere fact that there is simcha by a wedding, certainly simcha by, that doesn't justify the recitation of a Shechianu in relationship to mitzvot, according to Tosfos. Yes?
Then why are we saying it with a new fruit or with a new garment?
Because the new fruit, we saw, Tosfos says, the Gemara said, it's seasonal. The new fruit, this wasn't there on the tree all year. The garment is only because of simcha. There is simcha for that, but not for mitzvot. By mitzvot, Tosfos acknowledges that you can make a Shechianu on a new fruit, but that has nothing to do with seasonal. Tosfos does not want to apply simcha category to mitzvot. Tell me why. Mitzvot are not designed for what? To generate pleasure and happiness. You might, it's exactly, you do it because HaKadosh Baruch Hu told us to do it. But they are not designed to promote simcha. And that halacha has many, many applications. Yes? That's the Yom Tov. That is the mitzvah of simcha on Yom Tov. That's the mitzvah. Except for that mitzvah, where the definition of the mitzvah is to be misameach. But any other mitzvah, to give tzedakah, no mitzvah to have simcha. To blow the shofar, there's no mitzvah to have simcha. Just do it. And even if you have joy and celebration, it's halachically insignificant. Halachically insignificant. Yes?
Okay, I'm not sure if this makes sense at all, but could we connect this to last week's shiur by saying, when you want to make up something, let's say you didn't say a Shechianu, you missed the holiday.
Right.
You didn't say the
completely?
Right, the holiday's over, like you're saying, Shavuos was over, or you missed the Korban, whatnot. So if the reason that you're saying the Shechianu is for Simcha, then saying the Shechianu after the holiday is over doesn't make any sense.
But if it's Mizman Lizman, excellent, excellent, yes, excellent.
That, when you say make a
Kadesh Yisrael Bahazmanim, it allows us, we have that privilege to create these
things.
It's not like a simcha. It's
simcha
on our part.
It's, I'm not saying, but we're partners. I know. Every Musar book in the world will tell you, you shouldn't look at a mitzvah as a burden. You should enjoy it. There's no doubt. But halachically, it has no connection to the mitzvah. It's a secondary. It's not part, which is somewhat shocking. That mitzvot, lav lehanot nitnu, and therefore I'll give you an example. There are times when you have an item which is asur b'hana'a. You're not allowed to have benefit from it. Well, you might be able to do a mitzvah with it. You can't marry somebody with that item because you're getting benefit from it, but you can do a mitzvah with it, because the purpose of a mitzvah is not to generate benefit. So even though the item is asur bahana'a, it is possible that you can do a mitzvah with it. Can do a mitzvah with it. Yeah.
Wait, so you're saying, for example, a carnival light, you're not allowed to derive benefit, but you can sit and learn?
No, you cannot. Not allowed to. That's asur bahana'a.
But learning the mitzvah.
I understand, but it's a good question. It's a good question. So why not allowed to learn? It's a good question. That's a good question. Yeah. That is correct. That is correct. Yeah. If we go to page number 8 for a minute, we have a very interesting question and a fantastic statement of the Meiri. Now, has anybody made opinion of Ben? Okay. An opinion of Ben? It's one of the rarest of mitzvot. I can count maybe 10 opinion of Ben's in my rabbinic career that I attended hundreds of brisim. Maybe 10 opinion of Ben's. It's so rare. So Rav Sim, so we make Shechianu at a Pinyon Aben. That's our practice. So Rav Simloi iklo l'Pinyon Aben. Rav Simloi came to a Pinyon Aben. Bo mine, somebody asked him, Pshita al Pinyon Aben, Asher Kedishanu b'Mitzvos Tzivanu al Pinyon Aben. Who makes that bracha? Avi haben mevarech, because he is being mekayim the mitzvah. The kohen's not being mekayim the mitzvah. The kohen's making the $5, but the mitzvah's being of redeeming your child is based on the father. Baruch shechayanu v'kimanu v'kiyanu mazeh, kohen mevarech, o avi haben mevarech. Who makes the shechayanu at a pidyon haben? Kohen mivarech dekamati hana'a liyadeh. He's getting 5 silver pieces. So he's delighted. Or avi haben mivarech dekavid mitzvah. Because like any other mitzvah that you do for the first time, you make a shechayanu. You make a shechayanu on. That was his question. Lo heve biyadeh. Once again, Rav Simloi did not know the answer to that question. Asa Sha'ol Bein Midrasha. He went to the Beis Medrash and he asked the question. Amulai, they said, Avi Aben Mevarech Shtayim. Father makes both brachot. Now, have you ever heard of Shechianu at a bris? Never. Unless you're a Sfardim. Sfardim make a Shechianu at a bris. Because no different than Pinyon Aben. No different than Pinyon Aben. Our Ashkenazic practice is not to recite a Shechianu, Mishum Tsa'ara Diyanuka. The little Pish is screaming his head off, and the mother and father are not very happy. They're pretty upset. So when the father and the mother are not terribly happy, we don't make a Shechianu at a bris. Pidyon Aben is painless, so we make the Shechianu there. Sfardim make a Shechianu, as rightly so, based on that. We follow that Tosfos. However, I want to show you a powerful statement of the Meiri. And look at the third to the last line in the paragraph which I bracketed, the last two words. Last two words of three lines from the end of that paragraph, where it says, Vishema Tomar. Everybody have the place?
No.
It's the three lines from the end of the first paragraph. The last two words of the third line.
Page 9.
Vishema Tomar. Vishema Tomar. Yivarei HaKohen, Shechianu, Shaharei HaAnah Shelo. Maybe we should have paskined against the Gemara and said, the father doesn't make both brachot. The father just makes Alpinyan Aben. But the Kohen makes it because he's getting the five silver pieces. Answers the Meiri. Harei Yesh Bizichuto Pseida L'shar HaKohanim. What does that mean? Mazah Pseida. Hefseid. Oh, all the other Kohanim not getting the five silver pieces. You're the only lucky Kohen. You cannot express joy when your fellow Kohanim are very upset that they didn't get the gig. Exactly. Shahayu Reuyim La Kamo. They were just as worthy in theory to get the Pidyon HaBen. And in fact, there is a halacha by all Trumot and Ma'asrot. I have a choice to determine which Kohen I'm going to select for my Pidyon, who I'm going to give my Truma to. That is halachically worth something to me. How is it worth halachically? I can go over to a Kohen and say, there are three Kohanim here. Which one of you are going to give me Yankee tickets? The one who gives me the Yankee tickets for tomorrow night's Yankee game against the Houston Astros, I will give you my Truma. You're allowed to do that. Obviously, the Kohen's not going to give you the full value of the Truma, because that could cost him a fortune. But he'll give you something. And that's called Tovat Hana'ah. It's halachically significant that it's measurable and can be. But I thought this was a very nice ethical lesson, that if your mitzvah, your simcha, generates agony and sadness on the part of others under those circumstances, you are not entitled to recite the Shechianu. That is correct. He makes both brachot.
I have to ask Moshe to make Shechianu both times.
I understand.
Yeah.
That's a good. Yes. I imagine. Ask him. I imagine he did. I imagine. All right, Rabotai. Stop here. Wish everybody a good summer.
Good summer.